Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I got to tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I got to...
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
And we are back, and finally back in our studio, Sports Talk Studios.
It's a rainy night on Sunset,
people. In rainy Los Angeles, California. Now, if you've never been to California when it's rained, then you haven't lived. Because it's watching 20 million people just lose their minds over nature. Something that happens regularly everywhere in the world, except for California. So,
like, I actually just unoffered to give someone a ride. Like, normally I'm like, hey, do you need to go to the bank? I'll drive you up there. And all of a sudden I realized, and it's not me, like, I'm not worried about my driving. I have to worry about everybody else's driving, because all of a sudden Los Angeles is like a slip and slide. A lot of people don't realize, who aren't out here, that, like, you know, if it doesn't, if
great
it doesn't,
point, great point.
If it doesn't, rain for like 8-9 months at a time, all that, like, oil and stuff just soaks into the asphalt. And it's a weird thing chemically that happens, that all of a sudden, after nine months of dryness, the rain hits and there's a weird oil slick. I mean, everything's just super slippery. I mean, just pulling into a CVS parking lot under a parking, all of a sudden, I was just on ice skates.
It's black ice equivalent.
I totally had a black ice moment in a CVS parking lot. Thankfully, no one went to the pharmacy at that time, so I was slid into three spots and I was cool.
Well, you know, and even like as I rolled up here, you and Moses are down enjoying a drink down the street.
Yes.
Yeah, that's three blocks away. But for me to unpark, drive all the way down there.
Right,
which
I'm here.
Is down a hill, find parking, go in. It's like, I'm not even joking, 20, 25 minutes just to drive three or four blocks and find parking.
Well, that wouldn't have taken that long.
It
would have taken the same amount to drive it. I mean, to walk it. The distance you were going to go, it would have taken the exact same time to walk down there. And what you said, I don't want to get wet.
Yeah, plus driving back up La Cienega.
And you actually chose to take a nap in your car.
Yep.
Or actually in your offensive coordinator's car.
Yep,
which is a great ride.
Took a little shut-eye nap. And yeah, so now we're ready to go. And it actually just feels good to be back here. And this is, I guess, the official studio.
This is.
And, you know, we've been doing it over the phone the past couple weeks. Ryan,
the show was born in this building.
Actually, apartment, whatever, upstairs.
25,
the one, yeah. That's where we did the pilot episode.
Yeah, the pilot and the lost pilot episode.
Yeah, the lost, which, oh man,
there's an original pilot. It's like Star Trek. There was a pilot before the pilot, where we had Captain Pike was the original.
Exactly, and now here comes the new chapter.
All right, so Sheezer, it was week 13 in the NFL, and I want to talk to you about something specifically.
More like week 13.
It was week 13. It sure was. My Pats lost, of course, to Green Bay, and your Chiefs lost to the Broncos. But what I want to talk to you about, especially since we're not NFL insiders. We don't have the dope on who's getting traded or whatever. But
nor do we want. We don't have the time for that.
What we talk about often is one's obsession with a particular team or sport, or, you know, what drives you to love the Kansas City Royals, to listen to Midnight Blue over and over, or burn a jersey. This is what we're about. We're about sportsaholicism. And so here's what I want to talk about, because this is what I was – you got to know, I saw this loss to Green Bay coming all week long. It was like, we're at Lambeau. Patriots are at Lambeau.
Yeah, that's you can stop right there. You're at Lambeau midseason.
But I'm just saying, it's like you see it. It's like you see the train. You know, it's like, by the way, no turnovers either side. Totally good game.
Clean game.
I was in it till the end. I probably should have gone for it on fourth down instead of missing the field goal. Because once you miss a field goal, you might as well have missed it. You might as well miss it going for fourth down. But I'm saying, it's like, I just knew in my heart, in my soul, everything in my body, I somehow knew the future. I knew I wasn't getting this game. Now, I will say this. I met some Packer fans a couple days, like Thursday night before the game. I was down at the Comedy Store front patio bar, and a couple Packer fans, we were razzing each other back and forth, and they were talking and bragging how they're going to win the game, and Aaron Rodgers this, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, hey, I will happily lose to you this Sunday game, to beat you on Super Bowl Sunday.
That's
and they put a that put a cold chill through those cheeseheads, well, which I am proud of.
I turned it on, and the first thing I went to Twitter with is like Super Bowl preview. Sorry, Kansas City fans, and this was before we had lost. But after you lose to the Raiders, you're pretty much out of the playoff picture, hopefully. Especially after now they,
I mean,
they lost 52-0 okay, to the Rams and the Chiefs. But anyway,
that's the second. By the way, that's the second half of this conversation. The first half is about me and the Patriots. But the second half is about like, look, you know, a week and a half ago, you're facing the Raiders on a Thursday night, and if you win the game, if you beat the Raiders, who quite literally had not beaten anyone,
who would lose to Alabama, who would lose to Oregon.
I'm not going to say that, but I'm saying they were 0-10. They had no wins.
Hadn't won in 368 days.
Yes, they hadn't won in a full calendar year. And all you need to do is beat a team that cannot beat anyone, and you literally take you.
The only team they beat is themselves.
You take a half game lead on the Broncos, going into forcing the Broncos to match you win for win in match play. But now, all of a sudden, you lost that game. The Broncos picked up the half game win advantage over you, and then head to head, which you knew was going to happen. It's like the Chiefs don't want to beat Peyton Manning. It's like they have some mental whammy on you guys that mentally realizes you can't beat him.
You could have given me 12 points on that game, and I wouldn't have taken the bet. You're right. They can't beat him, and
it's like a mental block. The Chiefs have some mental block that prevented them A, from beating the Raiders. B, from it's like you just can't seem to take control. You guys were undefeated, like 9-0 last year, and then you got Manninged. You just literally you couldn't lose to anybody, and you got Manning. You ended up losing both games to Manning again.
Which you weren't there, but last week we had former Colt and Manning teammate and Chief lineman Ryan Lilja was on the show. Finally, yes. It was great. Now that he's out of the league, he's like, "Yeah, I'm not under any contract. I can talk to whoever I want to." But he had this great story because I asked him about Manning, like how he just like slows down the game, and he's just like how everything's got to be so precise, but how it almost simplifies it when you know exactly where you have, you know what I'm saying? There's no more, there's no more question. It's got to be here. It's got to be there. But he told this great story. And for those of you that didn't listen, you can go back and find it on our Sportsaholic site or johnishere.com. Told this great story about, apparently there's a bunch of rookies. Like there's, this is an indie. There's always shit, always crap in the toilets. Like people weren't flushing the toilets after practice, before practice weights. So finally, Manning calls a big team meeting. Ed just goes, "All right, guys, here's the deal. We're all adults here. When you take a shit, what you do then is you flush it down the toilet so that the next guy doesn't have to come in and look at your shit. That is disgusting." And just called out the entire team because he didn't know exactly who or what or whose was doing it.
But that changes. You change chop that meat into flush that, John. Flush that, John. Flush that, John.
But he did. Ryan, you know, point being that he just managed to bring everyone together as a team and as a family.
As a family of toilet flushers.
Yeah, you know, and so, but for whatever reason, Manning always had. But to go back to being a Patriots fan. That's what the luxury of, because you can go into Green Bay and be like, "Don't care if we lose. Doesn't matter if we lose."
It does matter. See, that's the bullshit. Because I had the game advantage. I had the game advantage over fucking Peyton Manning because I need to have home field advantage over him. And I still have it.
Yes, you do.
I still technically have it. And I have tiebreakers against all the division leaders. I mean, I wouldn't have one against you, but you can't seem to fucking take control of your division. You can't handle your business. And that's what's frustrating. Is it one of those things where, you know, hey, man, I didn't just need to beat Peyton Manning. I also had to beat my ex-girlfriend's mother's team because I didn't want to. It was like it was going to hurt twice as much if I lost to the Denver Broncos this year. And I do not want to lose to them in the playoffs. And I do not want to play them in Mile High or whatever Invesco Fieldhouse or whatever the fuck they play in. I don't want to go to Denver. I want them to come to me and I want to beat them. And I want to go to the Super Bowl and I want to beat the Packers.
Which brings up a good question. How has Mile High Stadium never just been referred to as the barn? Where they keep the Broncos.
That's a good one.
I mean, come
on. The stable,
stable.
The paddock.
It's got to be Mile High. And then when you go to Denver, you're like...
Because Mile High supersedes it. Mile High is a great name.
No, I know. But the thing is, when you go to Denver, you see mountains, but at no point are you like, "I'm a mile above sea level." You're just... In fact, when you're in Denver, it's just half the east side of the fucking city. It's just plains. It looks just like Kansas.
I know. It's, yeah, it's
as you drive from Kansas, yeah. you just gradually over the course of 500 miles, you know, elevating yourself to a 3,500 feet.
Because then you actually, even though you're a mile high, what you actually have the perception is that you're beneath, you're at the foothills yeah. of these mountains.
You still don't feel like you're at
no,
a
these
super
things
high.
Are way higher than me. Exactly. Because I'm not on the top. This is it, city isn't at the top
so
of
that's
mountain.
On you, Denver, to change the name of Mile High to the barn or the stable or anything
the
that
paddock.
Would house. I mean, an Elway looks like a donkey, too. I mean, it's
God,
just a,
they both do. I mean,
it's a perfect nickname for you guys.
I thought both Shannon Sharp and... you know, I love a moment. I love when teammates who are black and white both are so ugly that they look like it's like that way. It's not racist. In other words, like here's John Elway
it's
who looks
proof
like
proof of evolution.
Right. I'm saying John Elway looks like a horse, and you know what? Shannon Sharp looks like a
looks
horse.
Looks like they're brothers. They just happen to have
and
different skin.
And just so you don't think I'm anti, look, the Boston Celtics. We had Kevin McHale who looked like Frankenstein, and we had the Chief,
the Parrish.
We had Robert Parrish. I used to call them the Frankenstein brothers because literally they were assembled from parts.
Yeah, that, very much so. And Parrish always moved. And granted, I was a kid and he was probably 50 when he was still playing in the NBA when I was young, but you know, he just moved very
he got like an extra ring.
Robotically.
He's got like a Chicago Bulls championship ring, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, do you remember what I love about the Broncos this season is the disappearing fan. Remember that story from like a month and a half ago? The guy goes missing for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Well, at halftime he just said, "Fuck it, my life sucks," and just started walking, just walked out of the stadium. They found him like a week later in New Mexico. So kudos to Broncos.
So he walked to New Mexico?
Yeah,
much better than
sorry about that. We're back. Had a small amount of technical difficulty.
Plus,
but,
which we were talking about a very depressing story, which yeah. we don't need to talk
which
about.
So good. Maybe that was a sign of why it cut off.
God stopped us talking about that. Yeah. So thank you, God.
So anyway, it's been raining outside. It's been horribly wet.
How wet is it?
It's so wet that my car almost slid down the hill. No, we actually got a very special guest on this week. We have Micah Pushell of Iration, who's a huge Kansas Jayhawks fan. We're not going to talk basketball yet.
Nope, we're not
because
talking
because it's just not that time of the year. For
he's a big Niner fan.
Huge Niner fan. So we're going to get into football, just on the letdowns of...
And he's a favorite guest of ours. He's returning. It's his second or third time on the show.
Well, I played briefly in college. Out of Pomona State or one of the Claremont
sure.
schools, but very well informed, you know, keeps up to date with everything and knows a lot about what's going on with the Niners.
Also, guys, when you listen to this interview, know this. Sheezer, Kansas City Royal fan that he is going to intentionally avoid talking about the Kansas City Royals losing to Micah's San Francisco Giants. By the way, I did most of the interview not even realizing that that's what was happening, but stick around till the end. It's going to be really worth it.
Excuse me. So, yeah. Anyway, Micah, thanks for coming on and being awesome.
No, we're about to go to the interview now.
Yeah.
And enjoy the interview.
God damn. It's like I almost got through the whole... Anyway, yeah, enjoy the interview. On a Saturday, with that look in your eye, acting like you're innocent. All right, and we are back on Sportsaholics with our guest this week, Micah Pushell, who's an avid, super avid Niners fan and Jayhawks fan. And Micah, how are you doing, man? It's been a while.
Good. Good, yeah. Great. Good to be back on the show.
Well, thank you for coming back. Tell us how you're looking. How you feeling about your Niners? How you feeling? Looking up at Arizona, looking up at everybody for a while. It's been October was a rough ride, but things might be turning around. How you feeling?
You know, it's been a weird season for the Niners. It's like at the beginning of the season, I think all Niners fans were filled with a lot of expectation and hope, and feeling like we could run the table and really like. You get to the Super Bowl and just watching our offense kind of just be terrible for
yeah.
the entire season. It's been frustrating and losing games that we shouldn't have lost. And, you know, I think everything we thought, you know, every week it's like, oh, they're going to correct it. They're going to get it right this week. They're going to get stride. And then it just doesn't happen. So I don't know. Somehow we're still in it. Somehow we still have a chance to make the playoffs. I mean, we basically have to win out. We have to go to Seattle and win.
Which you guys
haven't done it in a long time. But.
Which I mean, you guys can do. I think it's with this season. It's like to add like insult to injury. You've got the celebration of the new Levi's Stadium, which is amazing and looks eerily similar to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska. And then out of nowhere, the Rams, the Cardinals just kind of flip the switch and turn their programs around, you know, out of nowhere too. So it's like it's kind of coming in all directions this season for the 49ers.
And do you feel that you have any home field advantage now? Because it doesn't seem
that's
like
a good point.
It doesn't seem like Levi is any luck moving down to Santa Clara or wherever you guys are.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with just not being familiar with the field, with the place. I think that, in general, we just haven't been that good this year. And it's not as loud, I don't think. It's not as intimidating and kind of cold as Candlestick was.
Right.
It's warm, nice, and cushy. So I think visiting teams aren't like, you know, going in the locker room and, like, standing there, like, and like a foot of like of toilet water and shit and a bunch of stuff. So they're like, you know, the lights aren't going out.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. The wind's not whipping off the ocean.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's just easier to play there for visiting teams.
Certainly seems to be.
We haven't been very good. So it's one of those things.
It's the coaching, right? Harbaugh's gone. Is that like, how did that all get screwed up so quickly?
I don't know. I've been reading about it pretty much all day today because just like every bit of news that comes out of the camp is about Harbaugh leaving. And I think basically what's happened is that Jed York likes Trent Baalke a lot more than he likes Harbaugh. And he thinks that Baalke's put together a team that's worthy of winning the Super Bowl and Harbaugh's basically failed him, even though we've been, you know, close. I think he thinks that we could have done better. I think Harbaugh just pissed a lot of people off. I think a lot of people in the organization just don't like him.
Seems that way.
He's an abrasive dude, so I think they just kind of reached the limit with Harbaugh. I think they're just kind of over it. With the offensive struggles, you know, that's his deal, and you know, it's not very good. And Colin Kaepernick doesn't look like he's gotten any better. So,
would you want Alex Smith back?
What was that?
Would you take Alex Smith back in a trade straight up right now, Kaepernick for Alex Smith?
No, I think I'd still take Kaepernick only because he's still got a better upside, you know?
Yeah, I could see that.
He can still win games for you, you know? Like, yeah, he played terribly against the Bears and against Seattle. But, you know, a lot of times when he has to win the game, he can still make that drive to win the game or make the play to win the game. And that's, you know, more than Alex Smith could do. Once we got down with Alex Smith, once we were losing, it was a lost cause because he's just not the kind of quarterback that can bring you back. He's more the guy that
– he doesn't have the long ball.
He gets ball control with him.
Yeah. Interesting.
He doesn't throw it deep. And, I mean, kind of like what you just – mentioned earlier, it's more of a scheme issue and a total offense as a whole issue, not necessarily just Kaepernick's, you know, fault, as you know, because it is kind of like everyone's just playing horrible. You know, I don't know if it's an age thing, an injury thing.
There's a lot of theories, and you know, the offensive line hasn't been as good this year, and we haven't had a running game. We don't really have any receivers that can stretch the field. So it's just one of those things where I think teams know that they can just put like 8 or 9 guys in the box and just shut us down and try to make Colin Kaepernick beat you, and just can't.
Nice. Well, I guess we'll find out. Like you said, you got it. So you have to win out to make the playoffs. Is that all or nothing from this point on?
I mean, there's a possibility that if we win 3 out of 4, we could still make it a 10-6, but we can get Arizona to lose 3 games. Out of 4, which is possible. They look terrible, and they're looking very, very
vulnerable. Handicap the rest of your division because it is challenging. Even the Rams have become very scrappy of late.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, Arizona has their last 3 games. They have to play Seattle, Seattle, at San Francisco, at the Rams, and Kansas City. So they don't have any like mini games, you know. They just got smoked by Atlanta. So I mean, possible they could lose all the games.
Right.
I think they're losing confidence quick.
Yeah. The whole injured quarterback, Drew Stanton, not being able to hold up. And they took two tough losses. I mean, they went up against Wood, and suddenly they weren't looking as dominant as they did early in the season. I mean, you know, they were what? They had one loss, and now they've just tripled that. Now they're at three. Everyone's at nine. All the top teams are all sitting at 9-3, and then there's a bunch of bottom teams.
Yeah, it's a weird season, you know. And then you've got, what is it, the NFC
NFC South is all under 500.
Yeah, it's
NFC, AFC it's, North is all over 500.
It's unwatchable football in some cases. It's really been a hit or miss season as far as viewing the actual game itself goes.
And would you say, like, right now, if you're looking at the AFC West, I mean, I'm sorry, the NFC West, you're sort of looking at, like, hey, the Falcons have lost their stranglehold, and the Seahawks are resurging, especially having just beaten them, and now they could take control of this whole thing going through December.
Really, what it looks like is that Seattle now is in position to win the West because they're playing at a high level. But the thing about it is they put up 19 points in 2 weeks, and I still don't think that their offense is good enough to win the Super Bowl. I think they still have, they have the defense, obviously, but I don't think they have the offense. Like, if they get into a game with a team like Green Bay, who can put up points on pretty much anybody, if they have to get into a gunslinging match, I don't think they can stay with them. I don't think they have that kind of offense. They're kind of like what we were the last 2 years, where they're good at putting field goals and maybe one or possibly two touchdowns on the board, and then just playing defense for the rest of the game and winning.
When you have the luxury of Marshawn Lynch, which, I mean, just what he eats up on the clock in a game, I mean, that's worth,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many points on the board when you're not even allowing the other team the opportunity to score, and that multiplied over the course of a season. I mean, that's a huge difference maker when you have a guy like that. And so,
yeah,
and that's,
I mean, he's arguably the best. To me, he's arguably the best back in the league. In my opinion, there's not a whole lot of other backs I'd take over him in one, if you had one season, you know?
To me, he's like, I mean, this is to go like back when I was a kid. He's like a hybrid of Christian Okoye and Barry Sanders. Like, because he'll just bowl people right over. I mean, two or three people, you know, in short yardage. But in open field, he can make people miss, you know, go up and down, you know, like go completely lateral, bounce off somebody, you know, and then still stay on his feet for like another 30 yards. And so.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch is one of those freak guys that, when you look at him, he looks like soft, and he doesn't look like he's going to be very athletic, and then extremely athletic, and fast, and like strong. You know, he just looks like he's sitting in his car smoking pot all day.
Exactly. That's, I mean, maybe that's part of the secret, is that he actually looks cross-eyed, so when the defenders look at him in the eyes, they have no idea what's going to happen.
They don't know which way he's going. Don't follow his eyes. Okay, San Francisco. You said San Francisco is in need of a running game. Ray Rice has just been reinstated into the NFL. Any interest?
From the Niners?
From you personally as a Niner fan. I don't think the Niners are going to sign him, but would you as a Niners fan welcome him or Adrian Peterson? Let's just throw him in the mix.
And then it's a package deal, and they also get Michael Sam also on the defense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I would take Adrian Peterson. I don't know if I would take Ray Rice. I just don't think Ray Rice is got that much
left in the tank.
Left in him.
Yeah.
I think Adrian Peterson still probably has one or two good years left.
Right.
But, you know, the Niners, I don't think that we're going to sign up after the whole Alvin Smith and Ray McDonald. And I don't think we're signing up for any more.
Yeah.
You know,
drama free.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's.
Now, do you think Harbaugh is going to go to Oakland or the Jets? How do you have feelings about that?
I think he's going to go to Florida for some reason. I don't know how that works out. But anyway.
Michigan.
Well, everybody thinks he's going to go to Oakland and they're going to go to L.A. So he's going to be the, you know.
A lot of people are saying that they're thinking that Oakland's going to go. I have, like, I've read a lot of, like, I mean, it's weird because I'm not hearing those rumors in L.A., but people who seem to know, like Bill Simmons at Grantland.com, seems like he's not just, he's like pushing that there's really going to be a team.
Story. It's the same story every four.
It's this thing is changing a little bit. It's not like, oh, they need a team. They're going to build a stadium. There's always the stadium story. This is a team's moving. We haven't had that. We haven't had this kind of, there's a weird undercurrent that's going. That's like a team may move.
But the team can play anywhere. There's a ton of stadiums for that team to play.
I agree with that.
They're saying that they could play in the Coliseum in the intermediate while they build a stadium.
Right.
They could play in Anaheim.
The owner of the Rams bought that huge chunk of basically the Hollywood Race Park.
Right.
Yeah, that's, you know, right over by the – yeah, yep. That's in Inglewood.
A chunk of property.
Sure.
Which would be amazing, man. If they put – that would completely change. I mean, not that whole area, but that whole neighborhood. If they made it kind of like downtown, you know,
it's
like
the downtown. It's just a stadium. People get out of control. What a football stadium is. It means it's, look, dude. A football stadium means 8 regular season games. So for 8 Sundays, and then for
you get like
2 preseasons
bullshit and rodeos and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're gonna go down. So that's what's gonna change Inglewood. The rodeos.
No, I'm just saying it's going to be extra stops on the blue line.
4 feet of mud at the Inglewood Centrum. Come this week for Truckzilla.
Either way, you watch. You build the stadium.
They will come.
You'll go.
I've heard it.
It'll be amazing.
Just think about what LAX traffic's going to be like on Sundays.
Oh, man.
That's interesting.
That would be just incredible. Untouchable.
All right, so 49er fan, handicap the playoffs. Who are you looking for come Super Bowl Sunday? If you had to put money down in Vegas today for two teams to meet, who are you taking?
If I had to put money on it, I'd say probably Green Bay and New England.
I like what you just said.
If Green Bay gets home field advantage, I could see them making it. And I think if either Denver or Patriots get home field advantage, then whoever gets home field will probably make it.
And
I think it's just the teams that are left, that they just have such strong home field advantages. You know, Green Bay is just another team at home, and as well as the Patriots in Denver, they're just almost impossible to beat at home. So,
and then a winner,
one of those.
And then your Super Bowl champion would be.
I would say if it was between Green Bay and New England, I think New England probably won.
Ooh!
They have a better defense.
From your lips and that speaker to God's ears, my friend. Absolutely.
That's kind of a stock answer, but
no, it's a good one.
Yeah, I think if they get home field advantage, it shouldn't be that difficult for them. They're a complete team this year. They haven't been complete for a few years. They got the strength this year to kind of do it. So.
Now, how is this Harbaugh soap opera affecting you? I mean, is that breaking your heart? I mean, 2 years ago, he's the toast of the league, and you know, you guys have made the Kaepernick Alex Smith switch. You know, you've gone with the athletic upside quarterback who has all the athleticism and looks like amazing. And now 2 years later, you know, it's like, hey, the Seahawks have won, and you know, won last year. You're struggling behind Arizona, and all of a sudden, it seems like all of a sudden, you know, mom and dad are getting a divorce. Harbaugh might be working across the bay in Oakland. That's got to be hurting your feelings, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Niners fan, you're definitely a Harbaugh. You know, he's kind of like the guy.
He's way better than Singletary.
And, you know, he rescued us from being terrible for so long.
Right.
That, you know, everybody loves him. Everybody wants him, you know, is in denial about it. Like, oh, no, he's coming back. And I still, you know, 25% of me is still just like hoping that we make the playoffs and make a run so that he comes back. But
right.
I don't know. It just seems like there's just too many reports now, and there's too many people inside the circles that are saying the same thing. So I'm kind of resigned to it now, and I'm kind of and the way that we've been playing on offense, it's helping. You know, it's making it easier to be like, all right, we can let him go because
you're not happy with what you're seeing.
Right.
Our offense looks like shit every week, and I sit in here and watch the game and just lose my mind because it's so frustrating watching offense play.
Yeah, it's like you can only throw so much shit around your living room before you're like, all right, maybe we need a new coach at this point. Now, have you been have you been able to go to any games personally this season on the road or in San Francisco?
Yeah, actually, I just went to the game against the Native American team from Washington D.C.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Oh, okay, yeah, I remember. I heard about those guys. Yeah, they got a good track record.
I went up there and went to the Santa Clara. It was nice. The stadium's really nice.
Is it free Wi-Fi and everyone gets a free this? Like, you know, like
the Wi-Fi is just soaring. There's like, I ate chicken tikka masala at a football field which I've never done before. it's really, really nice.
Do they just have like fountains of nacho cheese and you can make your own?
And kind of cushy.
That's the name of the game. That's just how it is now at the
Yeah.
I haven't even been to Dallas yet, the stadium down there, but I'm sure it's freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, I went to Dallas last year, and that's really nice as well. I mean, I hate the Cowboys, but I will say that it's a pretty impressive stadium.
Right.
Now, when you're traveling, do you make a point to try to go see like sporting events? I know. Because you guys are on the road at least, you know, half or two-thirds of the year, it seems like. So when you're traveling around, do you get that opportunity from time to time?
Yeah, we haven't done any football games on the road just because generally we're playing or it just doesn't match up. You know, on a Sunday, usually we're traveling or we're either playing or we're traveling.
Yeah.
But we have been to the Ryder Cup. I was in Chicago. We went to the U.S. Open, the LPGA U.S. Open last year. Went to a few basketball games and stuff like that.
Nice. Now, so is golf? Is that big amongst everybody? Like, is everyone pretty competitive, or is it just like a few of you guys that make a point to go golfing whenever you guys are out on tour?
No, I mean, we're pretty competitive. I think we're all competitive. We're all kind of athletic guys that kind of grew up playing sports and stuff like that for the most part, or surfing and doing stuff where we're all friends. So, you know, naturally when you're all buddies, you're all going to be competitive about pretty much everything. Especially when you're cooped up on like on a tour bus for all day long, you just have to find ways to, you know,
yeah, I'm sure.
Time.
Now that was great, like what you just said, when you're just with your friends. Now, do you have, in your opinion, the greatest job in the world, where you just get to work side by side with lifelong friends and make great music and just travel around? Is there a better job out there? And if so, what is that job?
It's up there. I mean, I feel pretty lucky, and, you know, I get a lot of the things that, you know, that come along with it are pretty awesome. Just being able to go places and, you know, meet people and do things that, you know, I never would have thought. Being a guy that's been a Niners fan my whole life, like being able to, you know, get to know some of the players and get to know PGA golfers and, I don't know, just cool stuff like that. And obviously musicians out there that we respect a lot and meet them. And yeah, it's pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie. I can't complain, although, it's just like anything else. After you do it for years and years, you know, there's always going to be pluses and minuses. And,
absolutely.
You know, it's still a job. It is still a job, but it's a pretty, pretty cushy job.
Yeah, it's a sweet job. I mean, traveling, it's traveling. If that was eliminated, because that's really the main thing. It's like when you're going through airports, you know, or in a car or bus, you know, just day that's incredibly hard
getting,
to manage.
Like getting diarrhea in Cleveland in like the dead of winter, that's not fun.
I think that's
having to eat
that's
out
just
of a
Cleveland.
George Foreman grill, like, you know, every night, or microwave.
Oh yeah,
gas station food, public bathroom, stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh sure. The other night,
things you just take for granted at home.
The other night before Monday Night Football, they had a special World's AIDS Day U2 concert before Monday Night Football where Chris Martin of Coldplay and Bruce Springsteen substituted in for the injured Bono. I wanted to know if you had any thoughts about either Martin or Springsteen subbing in for you too, and your own feelings about if you had to sub in for Bono, if you had any thoughts.
I don't think I could handle any of them. I'm not a big enough U2 fan to feel confident doing that.
Right.
And if I did, I would just probably make them do. I just get up there and just put on Bono like those big sunglasses.
Yeah.
And just kind of like, I just act really Bono-y and just kind of strut around the stage and act like I knew what I was doing.
Right. Isn't that what he does?
Yeah, he just sells it.
I don't know. I don't really know what song. It would be a tough one to pick a song. Like, what song are you going to do?
I think they would just ask for, like, a medley, Streets Have No Name, into, like, you know.
Hey, the Patriots won their first Super Bowl to A Beautiful Day while the victims of 9/11 scrolled up on a screen. So I'll always thank you, too. It was
going to get a lot of backlash if it
was A Beautiful Day. It was a beautiful day.
Going to sing blah, 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 and then I probably just get on for the entire time I was up there.
Oh, man. Well, hey, Micah, do you got any upcoming shows the listeners should know about, or what region of the country are you guys attacking next?
We're off. I'm getting the studio the end of this week, actually, so we're going to be recording a new record.
Great.
In Santa Barbara.
Nice.
And then don't have a show until New Year's. We're doing a couple of shows on New Year's, and then we start touring in February.
Where is your New Year's show?
Tour. And we'll be East Coast and West Coast. So,
Are you going to do, just between you and I and Eric and anyone listening, are you guys going to do one of those like pre-show or start the tour off in like Ventura, Santa Barbara, LA, like you did last year?
Yeah, it's definitely possible. We don't have it planned yet. Usually it's something that we kind of plan.
Yeah. All right. Well,
closer to the show. If it's a big show, I don't even know. Like Oakland or something like that to start. Or,
well, that's one.
All I know is that we finish in Bakersfield on my birthday, which I'm on the string of like celebrating my birthdays in some of the worst cities in America.
Wait. Did you say Bakersfield?
Yeah. Yeah. My birthday is in Bakersfield, and no offense to the people of Bakersfield, but you know.
It's, well, Bakersfield, if you're not familiar, is a very, with Bakersfield, it's a very Midwestern or, like, West Texas-looking community, just kind of, like, dusty, full of trucks. Meth runs rampant. It actually, a lot of people have a third faucet on most sinks that actually just turn it on and meth just drips out. That's how readily available I've heard it is in the community. But, But yeah, so you're torn. You're like, what do I do? Do I party, potentially go out and get my drink spiked by somebody, or end up in a ditch somewhere, like some sort of hangover scenario? Or just get back on the bus.
Lose a fight to an MMA fighter at a bar.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that in Bakersfield and Fresno.
Bellflower. I hear, look out for Bellflower.
Bellflower?
You think Bakersfield's tough. Evidently, the real thugs are from Bellflower, so don't mess with anyone from Bellflower.
Nice. Well, we'll definitely let the listener know whenever that comes out what the tour's looking like. And in the new year, we'll have you back on to actually talk some Jayhawks. I wanted to mention it, but it's early in the season. Nothing really matters for a Kansas basketball fan until really April 1st and beyond, because that's really the Final Four starts right about
there. All right, you're going to just skip over entire March Madness. No. You skipped over the entire month of the Madness and your tournaments and everything. It's not like you didn't say something smart like, oh, we get into playing shape around February, or we really take care of our big schedules, or after January. No, it's like, oh, no. We don't really care until the championship game. Wake me at the Final Four.
No,
all right,
I'm saying it doesn't really matter in the eyes of, like, the legacy and the history of the program until you're at least.
Seems to me you lost to that stacked Kentucky team, and your coach Bill Self said those guys should go undefeated, meaning Kentucky. It's like, hey man, right now Kentucky's the pick to click.
No, absolutely, no doubt about it.
I mean,
that team is
young.
Ridiculous.
We're young, so I mean, Kentucky's running 9 McDonald's All Americans, and then the Twins. So it's like, I mean, those guys are. it's a joke what kind of talent they have.
Yes.
it's basically, if they do lose a game, it's a gigantic upset. Once you get in the tournament, anything can happen. I'm a firm believer that the NCAA tournament doesn't necessarily decide who the best team is every year. It's just who gets hot, who can win those like scrappy games.
Who wins six games in a row? Win six, you're the champion. That's the game.
Plus the amount of pressure that those teams, and when you're 18 and you're in some sort of huge like dome with 70,000 people screaming at you.
Outhouse?
Yeah, that's a whole different scenario.
There's way more pressure on a Kansas team than there is on one of those little schools that's coming out of nowhere that just bombs threes.
Fuck. Right. Yeah, like Butler. They did that shit 2 years in a row.
It used to be Gonzaga. Now Gonzaga's become a program. Now it's Butler, and soon it'll be somebody else.
Yeah, but wait, Micah.
Yeah, Butler and VCU.
Yes.
VCU, that's right, with the Shaka Smart.
Yeah.
If he's still coaching there. But, yeah, we'll have you back on next year to get into some Kansas stuff then. But, thanks for taking out some time and chatting with us. And I guess go Niners.
Hang in there, Niners. Yeah, hang in there.
And go Giants. Thanks, John, by the way.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's brutal, Juice. Brutal.
Intentionally not bringing up anything about...
I can tell you're purposely trying to avoid that one.
I mean, we got close when you said candlestick.
Right. Congratulations on that big win. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was... You know what? The whole time, I didn't realize... Do you know that he actually burned his Affelt Kansas City Royals jersey during game two to spark a comeback for the Royals? But... It turns out the winning pitcher of the deciding game 7 was indeed the burn jersey himself, Al Flack.
Affelt. It was the ultimate fuck you. It was like we got the game. There's a crazy backstory. There's this old guy I used to work with as a Giants fan.
Don't be taking John Lester from me there, Giants. I'm sorry that I took the Panda Express from you, but I need that. Sorry, Red Sox.
But yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, I think he's all the Panda's. I think he's wiped clean. I think that's about all he's got left. So you guys can give him his.
I don't think you understand that we need a replacement for David Ortiz. That's what we're casting right there.
That's hilarious. It's like a mini Ortiz.
He's mini Ortiz. Mini Poppy.
That's hilarious.
From Poppy to Perk.
But yeah, congratulations on that. Well-deserved World Series championship.
Yeah. By the way, welcome to the three championships in the 21st Century Club. I, as the Red Sox would like to welcome you to our three in the 21st.
It's kind of nice taking any sort of shine off the Yankees. No one's kind of getting close.
Sure, they got one. They got one for this century.
Yeah. So
right now it's the Giants Red Sox century, much like it was 100 years ago in 1904.
Yeah, now all that's left is for the Cubs to win once the Armageddon happens.
Yeah,
they're due. Well, Micah, hey, take care, and
thank you.
We'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, thanks, guys. Bye. You know you look so good. I'm never gonna stray from California, yeah, oh. Ha!
Michael, thanks for coming on and rubbing that in there at the end. That was, you didn't even rub it in. You won fair and square, so yes, congratulations on that World Series.
So there you go. And that was, lots of fun to see She's revealed right there. He was very sneakily trying to, it was like he was just talking about like, oh yeah, you know, no, Micah. Micah's a Niner fan. He's a Niner fan, and we're going to talk Jayhawks. Jayhawk fan, but we won't talk Jayhawks now. And I'm like, okay. Because, guys, just so you know that I trust Sheezer implicitly, and I didn't think he was trying to pull a fast one. And then as you heard.
It wasn't that I was trying to pull any fast one. It was that I've just moved on and put that in the past.
Yes.
And now we're focusing on the future, current day.
Future.
Struggles of the 49ers.
Right.
You know.
Pitchers and catchers.
How are the... Probably report in like 68
days.
Well, I was trying to think of it earlier today. I was trying to ballpark it. But no, it's probably more realistically like 80. 75 to 80 days.
Yeah, pitchers and catchers report very soon. All right, what else do we have to land the plane, Cheese?
I think the plane's just about ready to touch down. Anything to promote? Show Up, Go Up? How's that been going for you?
The Show Up, Go Up open mic variety show, guys, every Sunday night, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. in the belly room of the world-famous comedy store. Also, Cheese, a little bit of an announcement. I joined Twitter. I'm on Twitter. And so, guys...
Oh, that Marino.
You can find me on Oh That Marino on Twitter.
Which is what? O O O that?
No, it's O H. I did O H that Marino, like you would actually spell it in English,
like Dan Marino.
But I should have and Dan Marino, you're right? M A R I N O.
No, and we'll tweet that out on the Sportsaholics Twitter account. But yes, follow Eric and his
tweet me
his wiseness.
Oh, it's a wiseness now, yeah. Is it? Yeah.
Like that's in a Twitter language, wiseness.
Yeah. And then you guys can see, come and see us perform on Tuesday nights at the Roast Battle in front of the Roast Battle show, also at the belly room of the world famous comedy store. Show starts around 10 o'clock, goes till 1.
And those of you in the Midwest, I will be headlining at Stanford and Sons in Kansas City on December 26th and 7th. There are two shows each night, 7:30 and 9:30. And then also, if you're in San Diego on. February 6th, I'll be at the Comedy Palace, 7:30 and 9:30 shows there as well. So all that stuff's on my website, just John, J-O-N, is here, .com, not .net or .org, just .com.
January 7th, since we're doing that, I believe it's a Wednesday. January 7th, I will be at the Brea Improv opening for Brian Moses and George Perez.
Who's George Perez?
George Perez is one of the undefeated roast battle champions. He's a really funny guy. He's a very interesting story about a guy who actually, he was on some like America's Got Talent or Laugh America something, and he won the contest. And when he won the contest, he got somebody recognized him for a crime that he'd committed, and he went to jail for it. It's a very interesting story that George Perez has. We'll eventually get him on the show.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like his most successful moment led him to get incarcerated.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. Undefeated in roast battle and amazing, and he will be, and there's a roast battle Los Angeles at the Riot Comedy Festival coming up January 17th, Saturday night, January 17th at the Five Star Bar, and I believe George Perez and Joe Dosh will be battling. It's going to be a great battle, so keep an eye out, guys, and we'll be tweeting about it and plugging it and doing stuff about it.
Perfect. All right, guys. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word.
And if you have any questions or errors and want to email us, Gmail us at our Gmail, Sportsaholics with an X. I'm Eric Marino. That's John Cheeser. Stay obsessed, everybody. But she a Japanese crime and a black manna. Me live in Miami, but she live by Japana. But she a 18, but me pass 21. And every weekend she come in long distance. I'm talking on the phone, I wasn't preparation. She whispering to me, it's the same picture, get strong. Last night she a telling me, it's the only one moving to the most dilemma. Say, Danny J, the way you get the sound from. Say, Danny J, the way you get the sound from. Me say me get it from the general, the man king, man. He send it come and jam on the ruling island. Nicodemus, super cat and Burro Bantana. We come to separate the sound from the pan. We strong, we separate the boy from the man. We come to separate the girl from the woman, Susie Wanga. But she a Japanese, lime and a black man. Me live in Miami, but she live in Japan. But she a 18, but me pass 21. And every weekend she come in like this. And I'm talking on the phone, I was in preparation. She whispered on me, it's the same bitch, I get strong. Last night, she a telling me, it's the only one moving to the most deliver. But me say, right a right and wrong a wrong and music a the same thing a song and short a short and long a long. But if you kill a man, me say, me know you why I'm Susie Wanga. But she a Japanese guy, man a black man. Me live in Miami, but she live in Japan. But she a 18, but me past 21. And every weekend she come in like this. And I'm talking on the phone, I was a preparation. She whispering on me, it became bitch, I get strong. Last night she a telling me, it's the only one moving.
Santa, the mother dilemma. Because me hear them a eat man down in West Milana. That's why me no go there, cause it's a procession. Me no want them eat me foot and me no want them eat me hand. Me no want them wear me head in and a cursing pan. Susie Wanga, but she a Japanese time and a black man. Me live in Miami, but she live in Japan. But she a 18, but me past 21. And every weekend she come in language. And I'm talking on the phone, I want some preparation. She whispering on me as the temperature gets strong. Last night she was telling me, the only one moving to the motor. Tell him, say Danny Jada, where you get the sound from? Say Danny Jada, where you get the sound from? If say him get it from the general, the man's king, man. Send him come and jam on the ruling island. Nicodemus, Supercat, and Burro Fontana. We come be separate the sound from the panna. We come be separate the boy from the manna. We come be separate the girl from the woman. So say Wanga, but she a Japanese time and a black manna. Me live in Miami, but she live in Japan. But she a 18, but me pass 21. And every weekend she come in like this. And I'm talking on the phone, I was in preparation. She be spending me in the temperature get strong. Last night she a telling me the only one move it. The mother dilemma. Say Danny, say the way you get.